You are Locked On Dynasty Football, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Marcus Mosher and Kate Madjuke.
Welcome to the Locked On Dynasty Football podcast presented by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this year. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. I am your host, Marcus Mosher. You can follow me on Twitter at Marcus_Mosher. And joining me today is the fantastic Kate Madjuke. You can follow her on Twitter at FFBallBlast. Kate, how are you doing today?
I am doing so well. We just had a day of football. What is that?
It's absolutely crazy. It was fun, right? It was a lot of fun, being able to watch Red Zone and all 10 of those games. And it was a great day for fantasy football. And let's go ahead, and we're going to start this first segment, Kate, doing a thing that we call stock up or stock down. We're going to go through some of the biggest names where their dynasty value may have changed quite a bit over the week. So let's start with this one. I'd like to start with Jonathan Taylor. I think he's probably the biggest winner of week one. Marlon Mack, unfortunately, tore his Achilles, and he's going to be out for the rest of the season. He was in the last year of a one-year deal with the Colts, or last year of his rookie deal with the Colts. And now, all of a sudden, Jonathan Taylor is going to get a huge workload in Indianapolis. What are your expectations for Jonathan Taylor going forward this season and then and beyond?
You know, so Jonathan Taylor is a guy that was my RB1 of this class. Absolutely love him as a player. My concern for him, and this is not necessarily a dynasty concern, but maybe just a short-term expectation concern. Naeem Hines was our running back 3 in the week, and that was because he was utilized a little too close to the goal line for my liking. Especially for a large back and a power back that Jonathan Taylor is. So I think, you know, just given the fact that, you know, we might not necessarily look at Naeem Hines and think of a power back goal line guy, he's very well liked by this offense. He's very well liked by this coaching staff. I think we may, if you're planning to sell on like high on Jonathan Taylor with the expectation that he's going to have a massive workload, I think now's the time to do it, because I do worry in the coming weeks that we might not see a full changing of the hands. We might see more Naeem Hines in the coming weeks than we would like. So if you're ready to get him off your roster and cash in, I think that now it's got to be now.
Yeah, so this reminds me a little bit of the 2015 Chargers, right? Where I think that was Melvin Gordon's rookie season. And Gordon got a lot of touches. I think he had 184 carries that season and 12 starts. But it was Danny Woodhead who Rivers used a lot near the red zone. He ended up that season with 9 touchdowns. Would it be surprising if we get a similar type of split this year where Jonathan Taylor's getting a lot of the attempts? Maybe he's averaging 80, 90 total yards per game, but Hines is, you know, getting enough passing work and enough work down to the goal line to basically limit the, you know, Taylor's upside. Do you think that's possible for this season?
I think it is possible, but maybe not for fantasy Twitter. I don't think anybody is really expecting that. And I think, this sort of just goes back to my approach in trying to get in the minds of the coach. And when I'm watching that team roll out in week one, it was the Naeem Hines show. We saw Jonathan Taylor, even his long ball was a screen pass that he carried with his own will down the field, but it's not like he was targeted down the field. I think we do have to temper expectations, and maybe if you got lucky and you had that like number one overall draft pick, he was the obvious choice. If he's not a guy you're high on, this is the time to accept some offers, really.
Yeah, it's interesting, because if you drafted Taylor with a top 2 pick in your dynasty draft, you're going to want to see this play out now that he's got the workload share, at least you would think. But if you're somebody who had to settle for Taylor, let's say you got him at 2 or 3, and you want to trade him for a established wide receiver out there because you are worried about Nyheim Hines. This might not be the worst time in the world to do that with so many people being high on Jonathan Taylor and his upside. All right, Kate, give me somebody whose value decreased on Sunday.
I want to talk about everybody's favorite running back, Joe Mixon. I'm super interested in Mixon because we have convinced ourselves all offseason that Joe Burrow was the magical answer. The rookie got off to a hot start with a nice, long, rushing touchdown right up the gut. Looked fantastic, mm-hmm. but you saw Joe Mixon grossly inefficient. 19 rushing attempts, 69 yards, 3.6 yards per attempt. And guess what? He totaled just two targets, one reception for 2 yards. What gives him his upside is that ability as a receiver. And I don't like seeing those two targets. I don't like what I saw. You know, obviously the Bengals have a long way to go, but is this time to just pump the brakes on Joe Mixon and you know, trade him while you can, you know, while the hype is still real for Joe Burrow and the rest of this offense?
I'm gonna push back a little bit there. So Mixon still saw 19 carries. You're right. He wasn't super efficient. The Bengals' offensive line is absolutely atrocious. Now, they're not going to have games against a front like the Chargers very often. So you would expect there's going to be more efficient days ahead. But what I liked is 19 carries for Mixon, only one other carry for another running back. Giovanni Bernard got one carry in this game. Bernard did see 5 targets. Mixon only saw 2. I think that's not all that surprising, but to me, the sheer volume that he's going to get on the ground still makes him a low running back one. But I will be honest. I mean, I think Burrow is going to be really good, but I'm having a hard time envisioning this offense being very productive this season just because, again, that offensive line was dominated all day long.
And I do think, you know, it's definitely we were under the spell of Joe Burrow. Which, of course, we have to be. After his performance in 2019 with LSU, it's hard not to be enamored with the kid. But you have to look at the fact that this is still the same Bengals organization. You know, he's definitely a volume play for Joe. You know, he's a volume play for Joe Mixon. He gives a lot of just upside in the fact that he's touching the ball. But I don't know. He's touched the ball a lot of times before. You know, over the last two seasons has averaged nearly 300 touches per season. And he hasn't cracked what, RB8?
No. It is a little bit concerning. We'll see. I think Mixon is somebody that you're holding on to right now. You're not going to get a ton back in a trade after a somewhat shaky week one. So hold on to him and hope for a better matchup. And again, they play Cleveland here on Thursday Night Football in just a few days. I think that's a better matchup for him. All right, Kate, let's really quickly, we'll do one more. Give me one other guy who you think stock rose on Sunday.
Ooh, stock rose. It's got to be J.K. Dobbins, right?
Love
the rookie. He's super excited to see him in this offense. The Bengals literally, or I'm sorry, the Ravens, goodness gracious, AFC North on the brain. The Ravens could not stop scoring points. They looked like the same incredibly efficient team. The entire offseason we were expecting to regress. The issue was that, you know, Ingram disappeared after halftime, and it was the J.K. Dobbins show. He didn't necessarily dominate from a carries perspective. You know, he wasn't a workhorse by any means, but he got the goal line work. Is this the maybe stock up of J.K. Dobbins and the plummeting stock of Mark Ingram?
That one's tricky, too, because Dobbins in this game got a lot of his production when the game was already a blowout. Now, to Baltimore's credit, they're going to have a lot of games where they're scoring a lot of points, and there's probably going to be a lot of garbage time opportunities. But I think when they get into closer games, they're still going to feed Ingram. Dobbins didn't see a target. In fact, neither Ingram or Dobbins saw a target in this game. And that makes you a little bit worried in PPR leagues that he's going to have to do all of his work on the ground. But it was nice to see them use Dobbins near the goal line and that they trusted him to do so and that he was efficient. Let's pause so I can tell you guys about DoorDash. You guys have a lot going on in your life right now. Let DoorDash help you with delivery. Give yourself one less thing to worry about to take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app and choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off, zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDON. I also wanted to tell you guys about Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just blame ourselves or have another crappy excuse, but with Roman, it's easy to talk about it. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. All right, Kate, let's play another game called Stash or Cash. Some of these rookies and young players that had a solid week one, are you looking to hold these guys on your roster or potentially cash in some big week one performances? Let's start with James Robinson, the undrafted free agent running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars. 100% rushing volume there in Jacksonville. They only gave a couple other carries to LaVisca Chenault, wide receiver, a couple scrambles from Gardner Minshew. Pretty productive. It seems like he's going to be their team's workhorse back for the foreseeable future. Are you stashing him or are you cashing him?
I'm not sure if we're going to agree here. I'm actually going to stash Mr. Robinson. Didn't have like a particularly impactful fantasy day if you started him. Totaled, just 62 yards on the ground, one reception for 28 yards, which is great for an undrafted rookie. No scores on the day, but I think his, the time I got to spend watching this game, he popped on paper or he popped on tape better than he did on paper. I think he definitely showed himself to maybe look more pro ready than I think any of us could have expected given the circumstances and how quickly he was thrown into this role. Next week they get Tennessee, but then after that they get Miami, which is an interesting matchup. Then they get Cincy. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a truly daunting schedule for them. I think they'll, they might be more productive offensively than we're really expecting. You know, Gardner Minshew, despite the fact that he was dealing with this undrafted rookie running back, he was still able to be incredibly efficient with the pass, which I think is, maybe speaks more to Minshew, but is this going to actually be a maybe semi-productive fantasy offense? I don't know.
Yeah, and that's what's so difficult here is it doesn't project to be a good fantasy offense. And I think there's a lot to be concerned about long-term here, right? We know the history of undrafted free agent running backs. They just don't keep a job very long. You look at, the top scorers in fantasy football last year, almost all of them were, early first-round picks. A lot of them were, top of the second or third round. So pedigree does matter here. I think Robinson's a really fun story. I think he could be pretty valuable in redrafts, and I think he can maybe keep RB2 status this year. But do we expect him to be a long-term fantasy asset? I don't know. I have my questions. I would be looking to trade him now for somebody who has a bit better of a pedigree that maybe struggled in week one. I'm trying to think of a name off the top of my head, but like I would trade him for Nyheim Hines right now, and even though that's a, you know, that's a different style of backfield, and Hines isn't going to be somebody in a you know, never going to be a committee or never going to be a full-time workhorse back, but I trust him to be on the field more. What do you think about that?
I definitely think that you know, we can project Nyheim Hines for more longevity. There have been plenty of questions about the Jacksonville offense in general, whether or not they're tanking, whether or not Gardner Minshew is a long-term prospect in that offense. It seems like the consensus is no, but then they come out playing yesterday and they actually look pretty decent. You know, I think there's so many questions there. I don't think he's a perennial back, but I do think he's an interesting guy that, you know, you grabbed as a very late round value.
You paid nothing,
Or even you might have found him on your waivers. And I'm sort of in this COVID mindset of, how significant are these little edges that you're able to pick up in on the waivers, you know, in the COVID season where, you know, we're seeing a lot of injuries up front. How quickly will, you know, something of his depth mark be useful? Like he might actually be something well needed for your fantasy football roster if you get the injury bug, which a lot of these guys are already getting.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I just think you need to value him correctly. If you're expecting him to be a long-term RB2, I think that's a mistake. But if he's your running back 3, running back 4 this season, he can get you through some games, you know that there's going to be a pretty reliable workload there, I think that makes some sense.
Yeah, this is not the time to trade for him, but if you were the person that drafted him in the late round or picked him up on waivers, I'm all about maybe just holding on and sort of seeing how this paces out this year.
I agree. All right, how about the next one? Everybody's Twitter love, Antonio Gibson. He led Washington in rushing yards yesterday on 9 carries for 36 yards. He had 2 receptions for 8 yards. So again, not a big day in terms of fantasy production, but the fact that he was out there, he was getting touches, and he looked good on those touches. Are you trying to hold on to him right now, Kate, or are you thinking about cashing him in?
I'm a little worried about Antonio Gibson, and this might, maybe this is my preseason prejudice, but he looked good on the limited number of touches that he had, played just 18 offensive snaps. 18!
That's not very many.
That's not very many. And, you know, for a converted wide receiver, he only had 2 targets on the game, totaled 8 receiving yards. That is not that's not the upside that we had sort of projected him for. And I think a lot of you know, the Antonio Gibson owners, the Antonio Gibson managers, they are they're waiting for that moment. You know, they're like, it's his first game, you know, and I'm doing this with Zach Moss too. I'm you know, it's his first pro game. We don't know how this is gonna pan out. Give him time, he's gotta adjust. And I'm just not scared enough about the Philly defense in terms of when we saw Peyton Barber, he looked grossly more efficient up the middle for me. And I think that, you know, he averaged 4 yards per carry on his first NFL game. I you know, you love to see that he's able to accomplish anything in that sort of offensive situation, because we didn't think that they'd be able to do much. But I do worry about the fact that he was on the field for just 26% of offensive snaps.
I agree. That it is a little bit concerning. Let's go ahead and do a different player. I want to talk about Sammy Watkins. Now, I want to go back to the playoffs last year against Tennessee in the conference championship game. He had 7 catches for 114 yards and a touchdown. In the Super Bowl, he had 5 receptions for 98 yards. No touchdowns, and actually in the divisional round, 2 catches for 76 yards. And then on Thursday night, he actually led the Chiefs in receiving yards, 82 yards on 7 receptions and a touchdown. We know how frustrating it can be to own Sammy Watkins. Are you thinking about cashing him in right now?
I think I'm gonna stash. Am I gonna fall for this again?
Really?
I don't know.
Really?
So here's the thing, and it's actually, I think it's less to do with Sammy Watkins, honestly, because Sammy Watkins has always been a guy that can flash. He's always been a guy that can be incredibly productive. The issue is that he's just disappeared. But we've seen it for what, 3-4 consecutive games now that he's been more involved. He's been getting the targets. And more so when I'm looking at Sammy Watkins' usage, I'm considering more so the usage of DeMarcus Robinson, which really surprised me in the absence of Mecole Hardman. So DeMarcus Robinson totaled 6 targets on the day, only came down with 3 of them, could have had like 17 touchdowns in that first game Thursday night. But the fact that they are calling upon DeMarcus Robinson over Mecole Hardman tells me that they don't feel like they have the end of their depth chart, maybe for the wide receivers, that secure just yet. And they might be looking more on Sammy moving forward.
Are you going to make a move for Hardman now? Because this is the time, right? He had a poor week one performance. He looks like he's buried on the depth chart. Is this the time to go after Mecole?
I think if you are a believer, you know, he definitely has the speed. He's definitely within the right offensive system. If you believe that the opportunity will come for Mecole Hardman, I think this is the time where you have to spring and get that asset. But honestly, I think I worry about the fact that DeMarcus Robinson didn't look particularly good, and we still saw a lack of involvement from Mecole Hardman. I think there's really got to be no downside in trading for him right now. But DeMarcus Robinson, I don't project him with the Kansas City Chiefs long term. I feel like he'll be out of there next year if we can see Mecole Hardman make that leap, maybe in his sophomore season. But the fact that they're sort of dabbling between these two tells me that they might need to lean on Sammy. And for that reason, Sammy is a hold. But you make an interesting point that Mecole might be the trade target here. What do you think?
I don't know. I like Mecole, but let me put it this way. Let's say you're playing in a 3-receiver league where you can start one flex. What would need to happen for Mecole Hardman to be in your lineup every week, right? He'd almost have to have, I think, a Tyreek Hill injury. That helps.
Yep.
But even then, he's going to be a shaky play because they still have Sammy Watkins. They still have Travis Kelce. They still have DeMarcus Robinson. So you're probably looking at him being the 3rd receiver now in the Chiefs offense. So I almost feel like you need to have 2 injuries for Mecole Hardman to be a consistent fantasy asset in your lineups. It feels like a lot right now. And I'm not giving up anything significant to go get Mecole Hardman because bench spots are valuable, right? When you're building a team, you need to be mindful of how big your benches are, how short they are. And having a guy on your roster every week who's getting 1-2 points, that can be costly. So I'm probably passing on Hardman right now. Any other guys you want to mention that you would potentially try to cash in after a week one?
I think I'm going to be all about cashing in on Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I am definitely, and honestly, probably just Aaron Rodgers as well. I think we saw a Minnesota Vikings defense that just looked lost. They've had some pieces moving around. They didn't have Danielle Hunter yesterday. I definitely think that they just overall struggled as a team, and, you know, Kirk Cousins and company couldn't keep up. But I don't think that we can expect this sort of efficiency from the Packers offense. You know, we definitely saw them lean a lot more on Aaron Rodgers, but I don't know. I have trouble believing that we've finally solved this these issues surrounding who is Aaron Rodgers' number 2 wide receiver. We finally saw MVS get 6 targets, reeled in 4 for 96 and a touchdown. And, you know, there was a long bomb that he missed out on. But what about Alan Lazard? Had 4 for 63 and a score. There are just so many pieces that we saw pop. I don't think we can count on every single one of these to do it every single week. And I think we have to temper our expectations moving forward. MVS, I've read this story before. I didn't like how it ended. I'm going to cash in if there's somebody willing.
Last question before we take another break. tell me why Devontae Adams shouldn't be the number one wide receiver in Dynasty right now. You know, he's with Aaron Rodgers. He's healthy. He's 27 years old. He had a monster game in week one. I don't think Rodgers really trusts anybody else except for Adams, as we just talked about. Why shouldn't he be the number one receiver in Dynasty right now?
I can't give you a reason. I genuinely, like, yeah. Devontae Adams is absolutely the real deal. You know, 17 targets on the day, 156 receivers and two touchdowns. What is that?
No, I don't think the double-digit targets every week is going to be a fluke. I think when he and Aaron Rodgers are healthy, I think he's going to average somewhere between 13 and 14 targets a game. I really do.
And that has been, he's been the one sort of consistent piece that we've seen. You know, Aaron Rodgers hasn't had anybody else to go to. That dude has been burned by pretty much everybody in that organization, top to bottom. And the only thing that's been reliable for him in terms of showing up on a week-to-week basis has been Devontae Adams. And you're right. I think the best part about their relationship is the fact that he has Aaron Rodgers' trust. So all of those crazy plays where, like, Aaron Rodgers will scramble down the field and just chuck the ball up into the air, hoping Devontae Adams catches it, they're all going to go to him because that's the guy he trusts to catch the ball. I just think the volume is there. You know, he's got the that ripe age of 27. I know we say, like, DeAndre Hopkins turned 27 and we were, you know, ready to write eulogy. Yeah. But that is a ripe age for wide receivers. They're really, you know, they start to come into their own, start to come into stride. I think this is Devontae Adams' prime. And the only question for me, you know, in terms of his long-term viability is how long do we expect Aaron Rodgers in that offense?
With the way he played yesterday, probably a while. We're going to be okay, I think, there. Let's pause so I can tell you guys about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best-tasting protein bar out there, bar none. It's hard to even explain it. Real chocolate, amazing flavors, with a great combination of low calories, high protein, and low sugar, with no crazy additives. Best of all, they taste fantastic, and they are releasing 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order at BuiltBar.com. And right now, you get a free cooler with an order of a new box only while supplies last. Again, that's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Okay, Kate, we only have a couple more minutes left, but we have to run through some injuries. And unfortunately, we had a lot of them in week one. Michael Thomas has a high ankle sprain. It sounds like he's going to be okay. He's going to try to push through it. Blake Jarwin, you know, a lot of people's favorite sleeper tight end this year, tore his ACL. Marlon Mack, who we talked about earlier in this podcast, that basically kills his dynasty value for the foreseeable future, right? Nothing this year. He's a free agent next year. How many teams are going to pay a running back coming off an Achilles injury? Unfortunately for all you Marlon Mack owners out there, I feel bad for you. What other big injuries this week infected players' dynasty values?
I think we got to look at Le'Veon Bell. Came out of the game yesterday with a hamstring injury, likely to miss a couple of weeks. But honestly, I think more than anything, this has solidified his gravestone in the dynasty graveyard. Yeah. Le'Veon Bell, I think it is your time to go. He is not on an offense that is, I think, particularly eager to get him back into the lineup. It's not vibing with Le'Veon Bell and the Jets. He's not looking particularly explosive despite all of the abs that he may have built over the offseason. I just think, you know, he's a guy that has never been, you know, necessarily an efficiency guy, and we're really starting to see that as he ages. I think this is goodbye, I think.
It's sad because at one point in time, you know, Le'Veon Bell was the most valuable player in dynasty football, you know, on an offense that was feeding him, was, you know, getting a ton of targets every week. And basically to not be fantasy relevant for, what is this, the third year now, it is kind of upsetting. A couple other little ones. David Njoku is going to be on IR for 3 weeks. I don't think most people were starting him anyways.
But of course he caught a touchdown. This is
Of course he did. Of course he did. Yes, I know. it's typical David Njoku. He finally has a good game, And then he has to go back on injured reserve. So that's, unfortunate. That is it for today's show. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you download the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Locked On Dynasty show tomorrow with Matt and Ryan. They'll be back to go over all the week one action. They'll be back on Tuesday and Wednesday. Kate and I will be back on Thursday to preview week two, talk about some trade targets, some guys that you should maybe stash on the end of your benches. So make sure you're following Kate at FFBallBlast. I'm at Marcus_Mosier. Again, the podcast is at Locked On Dynasty, and we will see you next time.